Lance Gross is here today from the city of Stillwater. We have had him on before. Lance, your official title is?
Planning manager for the city of Stillwater.
And that means he's involved in a lot of things, commercial, residential, and you see him on the planning commission and before the city council. So he gets a lot of TV time, I guess is where I'm going with this. But it's for a good reason, because we're busy right now.
Definitely, yes. There's a lot going on. You think about this, since the first of the year, we've had right around 80 single-family permits, new starts, which is really good.
And that's just, you know, single-family residential. That doesn't count some of the other things that are going in. So when you start adding that all together, there's a lot of building and development going on, or being looked at going on.
True. Say, when you look at multifamily and student housing, the private student housing, that's kind of tapered off. You know, it seems like it gets
there was a big boom on that here in the last 5 to 10 years, and then now it's kind of slowed down a bit.
Exactly. Yeah, that is exactly right. I guess it's kind of market driven. So
we had Prime Place and all these other developments that came in, and when you talk about multi-level places in particular, you think, well, they got a garage, but yeah, the rest of that's housing. So there's a bunch of units.
Definitely. Yes, and you know, maybe saturated right now. I mean, we've not done a housing study, so it's really difficult to say.
And is there one coming?
We'd like to do that. We do plan on doing one probably within the next few years.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the reason is because the look of the town is changing. And I say changing because it's evolving just in the last couple of years. And this is with a pandemic.
Exactly. And you think about this, over the past two and a half years, we've had a little bit of infill for residential, but you know, primarily we've had a lot of plats that have come in, new subdivision, residential subdivisions on the outskirts of town.
Mm-hmm. Now, by infill, I know what he means. It's like there's a lot down the street from my house. We talked about it off the air. So that'd be a great spot to build a new home. You could have a retro look and build it there, and it would look fantastic, or whatever you wanted to put there. That would be infill, using an existing property to put something new on it. Commercial, we see that, too, with renovations and things of that nature. With Dutch Bros down the street down here on Perkins Road, that's taking an old space where there was an ATM and actually putting in a coffee house, cafe type place. And it is pronounced Dutch Bros, B-O-R-S, not Dutch Brothers. I learned that the hard way. But it's Dutch Bros. And so that's an example of using, well, we're taking a property on a piece of property and we're putting something new in there that used to have something on it. That's infill, right?
That's exactly right, yes. And when you talk about commercial, let's see, for the Dutch Bros, I believe they're out of Oregon, and they've got properties all over the West.
They're a West Coast place,
yeah.
But they're kind of like Del Taco, right? They're moving east, okay? And so they're coming this way, and they're looking at Stillwater saying, this is going to be a hot market. And the spot they pick, you don't have a better one than that, really, in town. If you can afford it, that's a good place to be. And so they're looking at that. But there's other examples of where this has happened, too, and we've seen it before. For example, where Carl's Jr. and Hardee's was back in the day, that's now Schlotzky's. That's a reuse of an existing location. There are some of those available right now, even in some of the shopping centers and places like that. But when you build something from scratch, that's a different story. That's taking a piece of property that had nothing on it, and I'll use the IQ car washes here in town as an example, nothing on those properties, both locations, building from scratch.
Exactly, yes.
So you have it both ways.
Yeah. And you think about this as well, some of the residential infill, there's a few developers that do try to concentrate on those types of uses, and you know, generally all the infrastructure is already there and the lots are generally built larger, and you know, they can, like you mentioned, you can do like a retro design, something that matches the, you know, the surrounding properties, which, you know, it blends in very nicely.
Part of this is the interest in the community, because you can have all the property. If there's no interest in your town for whatever reason, you're not going to grow and develop. I've seen little communities smaller than Stillwater where the city fathers, we don't want any new people in our town. That happens, okay? Then you see moderate-sized communities like ours and places like Ponca City needed. They welcome that to a point, okay? We welcome it and we want it because it's like we have the audience for these people. We're a university town. We have a town where I still say there's more people here that use the town every day than live here. And that's obvious because of work and the way our roads are falling apart because of the infrastructure. But they're working on that. Separate story. That's not Lance's department for a different day, okay? But the point being is that if you are going to accommodate these folks, whether it's today, tomorrow, 5 years from now, you have to make yourself viable. There's a nice little word for you. A marketable type situation. Now, that's not your department, but you deal with the aftermath of that, right?
That's exactly right. And you think about this, some of the core area of Stillwater where residential is adjacent to commercial, the idea or intent is to try to make these, you know, places so that people can bicycle or walk to, you know, different commercial areas.
Mm-hmm. And then the mixed-use development, while not new, is something new here.
Mm-hmm.
And we're getting some of that now, too.
That's very true. Yeah, some of the zoning ordinances that we have in place right now encourages mixed-use development.
Yeah, and there's some of that even planned. Duck Street's a corridor, for example, for that here down the road. And I think that's going to be sooner than later. Once they figure out what to do with the street, I think that's going to happen here sooner or later. So there's interest in the community, I guess, is where we're going with this. And then you go back to the developers. They say, well, we have this nice plot of land. Well, there aren't as many of those as there used to be either, because we've had development, I would say, in the last 20 years I've been here quite a bit.
That's so true.
So those areas are becoming limited.
They really are. And we've had, you know, some of the larger builders come in and say, okay, we want to look at some of your maps and see where some of these vacant lots or some of these large parcels of land are that can be developed for single-family residential. So,
and by the way, Lance has the maps in the corner. He's ready to roll those out at a heartbeat when somebody asks that question, right?
Exactly. Yeah, we try to be as accommodating as possible.
And when you say single-family, that's a house like a married couple or a family would live in.
Correct.
That's single with its own lot that is not a duplex. That's a different type of housing and obviously isn't a multi-family, multi-use type facility. So we have all of those here in town and then some, because the problem then becomes you have to have the place to put them.
True.
And that's where you roll out the map and say, well, here are your options.
Yeah. Yeah, and like you're saying, it's not that it's unfortunate, but a lot of the areas that have a large amount of space, you know, the acreage that these people need, it's on the outskirts. But there are areas or certain sections of, say, I'd say the inner city of Stillwater, mm-hmm. where there are relatively large parcels of land where people are looking at to develop single-family residence. But, you know, it may not be, you know, the 100 or 120 lots. It may be 30. It may be, you know, 40 lots. But still, that's good because, you know, the idea of trying to get, you know, single-family homes, new single-family homes, you know, close to, you know, where all the activity is, you know, the commercial and stuff like that, it's important.
And then the other thing you don't want to do is wedge a square peg into a round hole, because that doesn't work either. And then you get back to streets and how to get in and out of these developments, and do they abut existing communities and how, you know, areas, right? And how does that affect them? So there's a lot to look at. This is why we have building and trades, why we have zoning ordinances, and why we have a planning commission who eventually their answers go to the city council, who has the final word in most cases in these decisions. So it all gets looked at rather deeply, I would think, and I know this, but I'm throwing this out there for Lance's benefit, just to say there's a lot to this. Maybe more so than people realize, unless they've gotten their hands in it.
Yes, yeah. And you think about, you know, the time it takes to get a subdivision through. It's a lengthy process, but there's a lot of individuals and a lot of groups, departments, you know, that have to look at this. They have to look at stormwater. They have to look at traffic patterns. There's a lot of details that go into it.
And we've had some in the last 20 years that I have been here that did not get developed, for the simple fact that it was trying to fit a square peg in a round hole. That happens occasionally.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to deal with that. But again, the ultimate say is not somebody at City Hall, except the planning commissioners, who have a meeting today, by the way, and I saw it was a very busy agenda, and the city council, who has the final say. And that's set up by the city charter and the ordinances and so forth that allow for that. And again, it's a situation where you have to have those orderly parts in place for the process to work, whether it's Bill wants to build a new house or it's Lance wants to come in and have a subdivision. He's a developer, and I want to try to put something in. Now, the trick is, whether you're building commercial, residential, whatever it is, The trick is you got to have people live there. You got to sell it. Okay, and you got to think you're going to make your money back on your investment slash return, whatever that's going to be, or you're like, why am I doing this? These guys look at this too. I mean, because, and again, they're professionals. Most of them know what they're doing.
That's exactly right. Some of the larger developers or builders that we deal with, you know, they do studies, they do market studies, they see what, you know, what's needed in a community. And the ones that have, you know, been here, or say over the past, you know, 4 or 5 years, I mean, they do their homework.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then there's folks who have lived here forever, and they know the market inside and out. And it's not just Stillwater. They might want to develop on the outskirts. There are some who do that say, you know, I don't want to be in the city limits, okay? But I want to be near everything. We have some of that, too. Now, you guys don't regulate that, but you can physically drive by and see it, because in some cases, the city's on one side of the street and the county's on the other side.
You're exactly right. Yes, and there's actually one. It's on the southeast side of Stillwater. That's, you know, they'll be using some of the city utilities, but they're right on the other side of the city limit line.
Yeah, I think he's referring to the new development. If you've not been out by 19th and Jardo lately, you need to go out there and look at that, because, and there's another one out, 44th and Jardo, which is 2 miles south of the city limits, that you wouldn't believe how much dirt's being turned out there. And those are new developments that will directly impact Stillwater.
Yes, and there's a couple of more on the south part or south side of actually Western, in between 26th and 34th.
Mm-hmm.
There's two relatively large residential subdivisions that'll be going in down there as well.
You drive out Western, by the way, all the way to 33 to Perkins, so west of Perkins, and you'll see new stuff all through there. Now, again, that's all outside the city limits once you get south of 32nd, but there are some that aren't. And so, again, it's that, where do we find land that's viable, it's not in a floodplain, that doesn't have issues with, you know, here's a giant lot or whatever nearby, that's fantastic, but it's right next to this, and that's not going to work, or whatever it might be. And so you have to figure all that into the equation, and that's why these guys do that. So your office gets bombarded by people. I know you get calls every day. What can we do with this? Can we do something with this? We want to do something with this. Now what do we do? Just the simple questions like that.
Yeah, it is constant, and, you know, if they're really serious, what we do, we have them come in, we sit down and talk to them, and we gather individuals from other departments as well to kind of let them know, you know, some of the limitations or constraints, mm-hmm. or even opportunities.
You need to meet so-and-so in such-and-such, and they're going to help you with this.
Exactly.
When this goes through. Now, I want to mention Cindy Gibson by name, because, and you brought her up before we came on the air, you'll see her occasionally at a council meeting too. She's kind of the first line of defense on this, right? I mean, as far as the phone ringing, it's like, good morning, City Hall, this is Cindy Gibson, may I help you? On the other end, and they're most likely, she's the first person that gets, unless they know you directly, they're going to call and say, what do we do to get this done?
That's so true. And Cindy is an amazing individual. She can do everything. And she does everything, and that's what just really, really blows me away.
So why are you here? I'm just kidding.
Yeah, it's true, though.
But it helps you guys in doing what you do, because you don't have to – some of this is tedious. I mean, what isn't, right? Okay, but my point is you got to have somebody in there that can kind of handle stuff, and that allows the other people to better do their job. I know it helps you.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, she screens calls. I mean, she does she can answer about any question. And she, you know, the normal people that we deal with, they know how far to go when they talk with her. So,
and again, you may be one of these in the future that does that. So if you're interested in any of this that we've talked about today, as far as, you know, permits and, you know, and because it gets under the realm of planning and things of that nature, and dealing with the zoning laws, my goodness, the book is like massive. Has nothing on War and Peace, has nothing on an unabridged dictionary. And the codes and ordinances have been codified here in the last few years, I guess. And so they've streamed them down a little bit to the point, but you can't stream them down too much, because then it's like, how many different RTMs and things, you know, all the codes that are out there? Well, there's all of them, for starters. But there used to be a lot more than there are now, which made it sometimes a little more complicated. But if you have any questions about any of this, Lance is going to tell you how to talk to Cindy or to him.
Yes. They can call us directly. My telephone number is 405 742 8215.
Okay. And then Cindy Gibson, obviously, the main number at City Hall, or they can get a hold of her through you, right?
Yes. Yeah. And the other number that goes to our front desk is 405-742-8220.
Right. And you have to dial at 405 now, because if you don't, it'll tell you you have to, and then you got to start over. The other thing is, how many, besides you and Cindy, how many others in that office with you?
Well, let's see. In the planning division, there are three total. A couple of planners and myself, and then in Cindy's area, there's probably four individuals.
Okay. And so it's a big group.
Yeah, it is.
And it has to be to do everything they have to do. Just to do the presentations and the PowerPoints, putting those together for a presentation, and they'll be doing some of that at the meeting tonight, I think, for the Planning Commission, too,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly, yes.
Yeah. And there's more stuff coming. I mean, mm-hmm. there is, because I know for a fact there's more stuff coming, because the interest is there every day, and it's not just Stillwater. It's this part of Oklahoma. You look at Guthrie and Ponca City and some of the bigger towns, and Cushing and even places like Yale and Perkins and some of the smaller towns, Glencoe, places like that. There's new construction going on. You may have to get off the main drag to find it, but it's out there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's nice, because that means there's a lot of interest in this part of north central Oklahoma.
It really is.
And Payne County in particular. By the way, population of Payne County is up over 82,000 now from the last census. It was like at 76. So it's grown like 6,000 people, 6,000 to 8,000 in the last 10 years. Those people got to be living somewhere. And they're not all living in older houses like I am. They're living in newer stuff or whatever.
That's true, yes. And Stillwater, you know, with the census count last year, we should be getting numbers probably in August. Mm-hmm. We'll start getting numbers.
Yes, as the county numbers are out, the city individual numbers come out. The magic number is 50,000. If it's just 50,001, the city would be happy. Because we know it's more than that, though, right, Lance? Just on the fact that we, you know, the last estimate was 52,003 or something like that I saw, and that's a couple of years ago now. So we know we're there.
Yes, and the pandemic from last year didn't help.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Because the count number occurred on, was it April the 1st?
Yeah, it was right at the time we were starting to really get hit by this thing. Mm-hmm. But so we hope everybody's counted, but I think we know we're there.
Yeah.
And it's just a matter of getting those official numbers. Mm-hmm. Well, very good. It's always good to visit with you, Lance, and come back again. We appreciate the time.
Well, thanks for having me, and it's great to be here.